Bible. Come on, say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Hang on a second. I'm a little nervous. Do we got a police officer in the back there? See, when the popo shows up, I get a little nervous, Do you mind standing outside for the rest of the... When you've been arrested as many times I have and thrown in jail, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, why is she here? We're going to need one if my heart's going... Brrr. I'm sitting here I'm like, what is she doing back there? Still to this day, if a cop just gets behind me, I'm like, Jesus. I slowed down to like 10 miles an hour. Because when don't radio nobody or nothing, but when you ran from the law as long as I did, it's like flashbacks every once in a while. When I see that uniform, I got to remind, they're here for my safety. Like, I don't want to go to jail. Where was I? Could you warn me that the popo going to show up? There's two up. Where's the other one? Oh, Lord Jesus. Look, they coming strong. What you going to do when they come for you? I got the Holy Bible. All right. Holy Spirit, keep them where they need to be. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I could have. Tonight I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never, 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 never be the same. In Jesus' name, 2020, going to be my best year yet. Come on, do you believe that? Your best year yet. Come on, do you believe that? Your best year, yeah. Haggai 2 says your latter will be better than your former. Amen. So every day I wake up, Lord, I thank you that my best days are still in front of me. I've not missed anything. I'm not living in woulda, coulda, shoulda. My best is still in front of me. Come on, say that. My best is still in front of me. Amen. Let me pray for you. Pray for the officers as well. Lord, thank you tonight. Ears are here to hear, hearts to receive, minds to comprehend. Lord, every heart is receptive, every eye is open, every ear to hear what you speak to us tonight. Holy Spirit, I surrender myself, my thoughts, my words, everything of my intentions to you. Spirit of the living God, speak through me to these your people. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen, amen. Turn and give about five people a high five, a hallelujah, a praise the Lord. What's up, girl? You still got it going on, man. You still got it going on. That girl's smooth operator. Amen. Well, praise the Lord again. So good to be here with you, and thank you for coming out tonight. And I'm just happy to be with Pastor Mack and his family and be here in New Bern. My father was born in Greenville, North Carolina, so that's where my roots are. Amen. And so it's an honor to be here with all of you tonight. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about Think Big. Is the title of my message tonight is Think Big, Think Bigger, think better, and think brighter. Come on, somebody say, think bigger, think better, and think brighter. My assignment tonight in this time and moment I have with us tonight is to help you think better than the way you've been thinking. God wants us to think better than the way we've been thinking. You know, I can look at my life and see that I'm not thinking better than I have been thinking. That how important it is that I allow my mind to start thinking better than the way I have been thinking. You know, if you always think the way you've always thought, you're going to keep having what you've always had. The only way you're going to get better, the only way things are going to grow, the only way things are going to change, and you're going to see everything God has promised you, you got to start thinking better than the way you've been thinking. Come on, somebody say, I got to start thinking better than the way I have been thinking. Your pastor made a quote one time. I wrote it down. He said, what you think on the longest becomes the strongest. And if you want the very word of God, the promises of God and that are yes and amen, if you want what God has said can happen and will happen to come to pass, it doesn't really start in my heart as much as it starts in my thoughts. That I've got to allow my mind to be expanded. I've got to allow my thought pattern to expand, because if you keep thinking the way you've always thought, you'll keep having what you've always had. And I don't want what I've always had. I want things to be bigger and better and brighter than they've ever been. Amen. You know, God told Abraham, said, Abraham, as far as you can see, it'll be yours. In Genesis chapter 12, I'm going to make a few quotes of scriptures, then we'll read some. But in Genesis 12, we know that God told Abraham, said, Abraham, I'm going to make you a blessing. And I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a blessing. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make you a great nation. And isn't it amazing how God, all from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, one thing I love about God that I recognize is God is always telling me what he's going to do before he does it. God never just does things. I mean, I've wondered before, God, can you just do it? I mean, I appreciate you letting me know about it, but I'm ready for the doing side. You know what I mean? Like, thank you for the scripture. Thank you for the quotation. But the Greek and the Hebrew and all those that brew. I mean, how many of y'all like God just to do it? Just, you have my permission. Just go ahead. Open up the windows and let it rain down, right? But there's some reason why God, there's some reason why God tells me in the scripture what he's going to do before he does it. It's not that he's trying to get it in my heart. He's trying to get it in my thoughts. Because if I think I can, I can. He's trying to elevate my thinking, because if I will elevate my thinking, I'll elevate my life. If I keep thinking small, I'm going to keep expecting small. I'm going to be looking for small. Everything around me will shrink to the size of my thoughts. But if I think bigger and I begin to start thinking better, everything around me starts elevating. So not only do I need to think bigger, I need to think better, because I have some stinking thinking. Y'all looking at me like a cow looking at a new gate. I'm from Texas, you know, so you got to at least smile. You know what I'm saying? See, it's not just thinking bigger. I got to start thinking better, because I got to get rid of that stinking thinking, that those old thoughts, that mindset that, well, maybe this is the way God wants it to be. I mean, if God wanted me to have better, he would already gave me better. If God wanted me to have bigger, God would have already done it. If God wanted to change this, change that, he already done it. I mean, maybe God just wants it to be the way it is. Maybe I really need to just accept it. This is the way it's going to be. I know none of y'all ever had those thoughts, but you ever thought why things haven't changed yet? Like, when are they going to change? Like, I'm ready for the change. Or maybe you wrestle with the thoughts. Maybe this is just the way it is. Maybe this is what God wants. I mean, if he wanted me to have that job, they'd have said yes. If he wanted me to got that loan, it'd have came through. Maybe God didn't want me to have it. Maybe he had something else in mind. See, What God will not control, and that is your choices, your feelings, and your thoughts. He will not control it. You know, when I get saved, it's by choice. And my heart could be right with God, but at that point, I'm born again. I'm a spirit being. So the Bible says we're a spirit being. We're a spirit that's housed in this physical body. This is our earth suit, right? And we possess a mind, a will, our thoughts, our imagination, our thinker, feeler, chooser. So we're spirit, soul, and body, right? Y'all know this. Y'all know the Bible. I'm talking to the church. So you know this stuff, but when I'm born again, my spirit man is what's awakened to God, is alive to God. Old things pass away, everything's made new. I don't get a new body. I'm just going to have to make the best of what I have. The only thing that can scripturally change is my mind. Romans 12, he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God is not unreasonable. He is reasonable. Will you tell your neighbor, he is never unreasonable. He is always reasonable. To present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed or fashioned after the superficial customs of this present age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, not the removal of your mind. Come on, church. Some of y'all done lost your mind. You said it, I didn't. Lost. When I got saved, they said, that boy done lost his mind. He's over there at that church. That boy done, they brainwashing him over there. I went back to the drug dealers. Hello, that's 30 years ago. Back to the drug dealers over there. And, they were like, boy, I was talking all spiritual. You know, when you first get saved, you preach to a stop sign. You're like, you want to get saved? Quit resisting. You always say stop. It's time to say go. So they said he done lost his mind. They brainwashed. And I come to find out that in my relationship with God, my brain needed some washing. Because even though I got saved, I woke up, want to know why I had that dream, why I was still thinking that way. Why am I having these bad thoughts? I mean, I'm still wanting revenge. I'm still wanting payback. Why am I wrestling with these thoughts? I know none of y'all have those. Maybe it's for your neighbor you can share this with tomorrow. But what I found out with God, that everything about me was saved, sanctified, on my way to heaven. But if I didn't renew my mind, I'm going to live the way I've been thinking. Things are going to keep happening based on my thought life. Because what you think about the longest becomes the strongest. And he said, I want you to renew your mind so that you could prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. In other words, I lived in the good and the acceptable for many years of my life. It was like a teeter-totter. God's like, that's good, that's acceptable, that's good, but I never got to the perfect will of God. Who would like to know, how do you know if you're in the perfect will of God? I mean, he put it in the Bible. Why would he put it in there and not, if it's not attainable, it's not reachable? Who wants to know, how do I know I'm in the perfect will of God? Is when my thoughts line up with his thoughts. When my thinking is like his thinking. God thinks big. God don't think small. God thinks better about you than the way you're thinking currently right now. You're like, well, God, if you're up there, if you're listening, if you know, yesterday, I'm sorry. I mean, his thoughts, he looks beyond my faults. He's not looking or thinking about yesterday or my faults. He looks beyond that. He's thinking about me. He's thinking about his plan. He's thinking about his purpose. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you," says the Lord. God said, it's amazing how he has to address, "I know what I'm thinking about you. Quit telling me what you think I'm thinking." You know, because I was one of those, because I was always in trouble. You're like, "Okay, God, it's me, Chad. I know right now you're probably not too, my mom was busy, or I'd have asked her to ask you." Right? Y'all know all the spiritual people around you, right? You're like, "If I need prayer, I'm going to call sister so-and-so, because I know God answers her. I know God listens to her." But reality is, God will listen to you as much as he listens to her. Your thoughts are just stinking right now, and you're not thinking God will hear you as much as he will hear them, and so you'll put more faith in what they pray about. My assignment tonight is to help you think better than the way you've been thinking. Because if you don't elevate your thinking, you'll never elevate your life. It sounds so basic, but it's so difficult sometimes. Anybody looked at the mirror of yourself today? It's hard to think good. "I love you. You're looking so good today. You look amazing. Oh, my Lord, you gained some weight. You look great. You should keep eating that pie last night. That's exactly what you need. Everybody's going to love you. Your clothes don't even fit no more. You're going to have to get new clothes, bigger sizes. Aren't you happy?" No, if you're like me, you look at the mirror like, "Oh, my God." It's amazing how if you don't get control of the thoughts, it will ruin your day. Sometimes you won't even want to read the Bible, don't want to pray, don't want to go to church, don't want to be around nobody. Send everybody to voicemail because your thought pattern is jacked up. It's toe up from the flow up. And it's amazing what God says. Even though you're saved, you're going to heaven. You're going to heaven. But he's like, you don't got to wait till you get to heaven to have heaven. I want you to have heaven right here in this earth realm. Jesus says it's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. "But I've come that you may have life and it in an abundance." And the only way that's going to happen is in your thought life. And if you let your past dictate your future. And you know, the only thing I'm in power of and control of is my thoughts. See, the popo is not my problem. It's how I think about them. My wife is not my problem. It's how I think about her. My kids are not my problem. It's how I think about my kids. God is not my problem. It's how I think about God. Your pastor's not your problem, it's how you think about it. Your neighbor's not your problem. Your supervisor's not your problem. It's the thoughts you allow yourself to think about them. You're either thinking happy thoughts or unhappy thoughts. You're thinking good about somebody or you're not thinking good about somebody. You're thinking good about your life or you're not thinking good about your life. There is no in between. And I found out that my life is like a magnet to my thoughts. Wherever I place my mind, that's what happens in time. I'm going to say that again. Wherever you place thoughts in your mind happens in time. I was praying about this. The Lord said to me, he said, "Chad, you will accomplish more when you learn what to ignore." I'd write that down. You're going to need that. Because the enemy comes where? To bombard your thoughts. You ain't never going to be able to do that. What it makes you think you're going to? I mean, that's all he can do. He cannot control my decisions. He can't control my destiny. He can't keep God's word from happening to my life. There's nothing he can do to stop it from happening. All he can do is get me to think differently about my destiny. And it is my own thoughts that interrupts how quick or soon the destiny shows up in my life. See, isn't it amazing when God says, when you tithe, he says, prove me in this, I'll open up the windows of heaven. What is he doing? He's elevating your thinking. Like, don't quit looking at the 10%. Start looking at the windows. He's trying to elevate your thought life. Start thinking about windows being opened up. Not a window, not a crack in the door. Windows and blessings that you cannot contain. And Luke 6:38 says it's going to come back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I mean, all through the Bible, God is trying to elevate through his word my thinking about what he says he's going to do. So he says, renew your mind so that you'll prove what's the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. When I was praying for you tonight, I heard the Lord say to me, tell them I'm going to take their mess, and I'm going to give them a message. I'm going to turn their mess into a message. See, you quit, get your eyes off the mess and start thinking, God, thank you. You're going to take the mess and you're going to give me a message with it. In other words, your story is going to be worth being told because God's going to take what you've been thinking is no good, is corrupt, ain't never going to amount to nothing. He says, listen, I'm going to take that mess and I'm going to give you a message. If you're writing notes, write this scripture down. Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. The Bible says, God says, they are not evil. And that may not mean anything to you, but it meant a lot to me. God having to address me, Chad, quit thinking that I'm thinking bad about you. I'm thinking corrupt about that. I'm out to get you. My thoughts about you, they're not evil. The Bible says, but they're good. And they're so good, they're to give you a hope and a future. In other words, God says, listen, Chad, the thoughts I think about you, they're not evil. They're not corrupt. They're not bad. I'm not thinking the way you think. I'm thinking good about you. God says, listen, I know how I'm thinking about you. And I'm telling you tonight, God's not thinking evil about you. God's thinking good of you. And he's thinking so good, it's going to give you a hope and a future. Come on, faith without any hope is powerless. Faith without any hope is pointless. You can have all the faith in the world but not have no hope with it. It's powerless. It's pointless. Amen. Isaiah 55:8 says, His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are bigger than my thoughts. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks, so is he. Amen? Thoughts become words. Words become ways. Ways become habits. And habits become my lifestyle. You can either maximize or you can minimize. One or the other, you're going to have to choose how I'm going to live my life. Where am I going to let my thoughts go? I found out that if I will begin to start thinking better, I'll think bigger. And this is no leapfrog jump. This is just daily. You provoking yourself to say, you know what? I'm not thinking better good enough about this situation. I need to start thinking better. If it's my spouse, I need to start thinking better about my spouse. If my kids, I need to start thinking. If it's my destiny, I need to start thinking better about my destiny. Listen, you start thinking better every morning on your way to work about your job, you'll enjoy the job that you have. But if you think bad about that job, it's going to be a miserable job. You're going to be looking forward to quitting. You'll quit before you quit. Amen. Acts 26:2, the Bible says, Apostle Paul was left shipwrecked in the ocean, was left shipwrecked. And the Bible says the storm came and destroyed the boat, and he floated to the shore on a board. And he was standing before King Agrippa, and King Agrippa began to question him and begin to say, well, you've always said God would deliver you, but you were left for shipwreck, and now here you are. You barely made it to the shore. What do you think about your God now? How come your God let you be destroyed and left out there in the water like that? And Paul said this. He says, I think myself happy. You know, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and it doesn't just show up because you saw a funny movie. No, it doesn't just show up because somebody came and tickled you. The only way you're going to really walk in the joy of the Lord and experience the joy of the Lord, you got to start putting the good thoughts in. You got to get rid of the bad thoughts, and you got to replace them with good thoughts, and you got to say, you know what? I'm going to make sure today I'm thinking better about me than I thought about me yesterday. I'm thinking better about my life than I thought about yesterday, because I'm in control of God's destiny that he has for me, and it's everything to do with me elevating my thinking so I can elevate my life. Am I talking to anybody here tonight? Come on, who says this was for me tonight? This was for me. I'm encouraging you that God will give you what you've been thinking. You know, if it wasn't so important, the devil wouldn't put bad thoughts in your head. If renewing your mind and thinking better than the way you've been thinking, the devil wouldn't work overtime with messages on billboards and television and commercials and the radio and people and all kinds of things around you with pictures and images flooding your eye gate. Because he can't stop God's word from happening. All he can do is stop you from thinking about God's word. And so he says that you need to renew your mind so you'll prove what's the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. Colossians chapter 3 says, set your thoughts on the things that are above and not on the things of this world. You realize we're just a pilgrim. We're just passing through. Our citizenship isn't in this state, in this country. Our citizenship's in heaven. We're seated in heavenly places. The devil is under our feet. God has made the devil his footstool. In other words, my problem is not people. My problem is the enemy, and the enemy is a defeated individual. In other words, I don't fight flesh and blood. I fight principalities, and they have already been defeated. In other words, I'm a conqueror. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I mean, think about Jesus. He wasn't exempt from his thoughts. The Bible says, for the joy was set before him in Hebrews 12. But he chose to endure the cross. Because the more he looked at the cross, the more pain came. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was praying. And the Bible says his prayer was like great pain. His sweat was like great drops of blood. Agony was on Jesus. And the Bible says Jesus was kneeling and praying. And he said, Lord, is there any way possible to let this cup pass from me that I not drink from this cup? He knew he was born for it. He knew the purpose and the destiny of his life was the cross. That's the whole reason he came. But yet, the more he thought about the cross, the more he looked at the cross, the more his mind got in control of him, the more he began to question his own father, is there any other way but this way? But getting control of his thoughts, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And the Bible says that an angel was dispatched from heaven and came and strengthened Jesus. You know what I used to pray? Lord, give me the strength and I'll do it. Lord, if you give me the strength, I'll go to church. Lord, if you give me the strength, I'll praise you right now. Lord, if you give me the money, I'll give it to the church. And God said, no, you do it and I'll give you the strength. Everybody's waiting on it. And he says, you do it, and I'll give you the strength. In other words, the strength didn't show up. The angel didn't show up to strengthen Jesus while he was questioning the cross, while he was thinking contrary about the cross. It wasn't till he surrendered his thoughts and said, nevertheless, not my will, your will be done, did God send an angel to strengthen him. And as long as your mind is running you, Lord, help me and I'll help them. He says, no, help them and I'll help you. You give, I'll give back to you. You pray, I'll answer the prayer. No, you press in, you'll get the miracle. You believe, you'll see the breakthrough. It is amazing what happens after I change the way I'm thinking than the way I'm thinking. Then I start thinking bigger. He told Abraham, "Say, Abraham, as far as you can see, it's going to be yours." What was he trying to do? Elevate Abraham's thinking. He said, my covenant is going to be to 1,000 generations. I mean, if you just read the whole story of Abraham, he was trying to tell Abraham, Abraham, it would be up to your thought life. The more you think, the more you believe, the more you see, it will be according to what I promised you. If you think small, you're going to have small. But if you think big, you're going to have big. Listen, I prophesy over you tonight, if you'll elevate your thinking, it's time to start thinking bigger than the way you've been thinking, too small. God says, elevate your thinking. And start dreaming beyond your means. Most people dream, most people's dream or vision is based on what they think is possible. If I was to say, what's your dream? What's your dream? What's your vision this year? Some of you would be scared to even tell us. Because you're thinking at the level what you think can happen. Then you don't need a miracle. Because if you think it can happen, you don't even need faith. Just throw that out the window. I'll wait and get me some faith when I need a miracle. When there's no way possible. Reverend, where's that faith message you've been preaching? I need to hear it again. In other words, where I am today, it's how I thought about yesterday. And where you want to be tomorrow, it's time to change how you're thinking about tomorrow. What if tomorrow's not the... If I start thinking good about tomorrow, what if tomorrow's not... Turn out that away. Don't let tomorrow decide how you're going to think about the next day, because just because it didn't happen today don't mean it ain't going to happen tomorrow. And when you wake up tomorrow, if it didn't happen then, don't mean it ain't going to happen the next day. Well, what if it don't happen that day? Don't mean it ain't going to happen. You keep thinking and you watch it be like a magnet. Pull everything that God has planned for you and bring it directly to you. Y'all get anything out of this? In other words, what I visualize, I'll verbalize. What I verbalize, I'll internalize. And what I internalize will materialize. And then you can maximize or minimize. Amen. In other words, I've got to start putting the good thoughts in, so it will stretch my imagination so I can have what God's promised me. Think about Joshua. God told Joshua, he said, Joshua, chapter 1, he said, I need you to rise up and cross over this Jordan. And I need you to only be strong and of good courage. Joshua, I need you to meditate on my word day and night, night and day, so that you may observe to do all that's written therein. Joshua, now listen to me, Joshua. I need you to only be strong and very courageous, Joshua. You need to meditate day and night, night and day. Then you, Joshua, will make your way prosperous. In other words, it's all going to be by the meditation. You know, meditation is a form of imagination. You know, imagination is a form of visualization. You know, visualization is a form of dreaming. In other words, everything about me thinking bigger and thinking better and thinking brighter, it starts with my dreams. Am I dreaming bigger? Am I dreaming better? Or am I dreaming small? Or am I dreaming what I think can happen? He told Joshua, you got to meditate on my word day and night. So you begin to imagine, you begin to see it, you begin to dream about it, you begin to think about it. In other words, the only thing you're thinking about is everything I promised you. And he said, and then you will make your way prosperous. In other words, ain't nobody going to make it for you. Ain't nobody going to open the door for you. God says, you will make your way prosperous. It'll be all according to your imagination. Come on, somebody put an amen on that.
Amen.
Look with me in Revelation chapter 3. Anybody get anything out of this?
Yes.
I believe I want you to go Revelation chapter 3. If not, we'll keep looking in the Bible till we find it. Yeah, Revelation 3. I don't know how long I've been going, but... Is that my time left over? Who gives me 5 more minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 30. Don't put them hands down. See, y'all was thinking good till I started 5, 10. See how quick your thoughts get control of you? You started thinking, if I keep it up, we're going to be here longer, 5, 10. Can I prophesy to you now? I'm going to come down to the floor. Revelation 3, you there? Now, this is when I was praying about coming here because I want to change your thought pattern to start thinking bigger, to start thinking better, to start thinking brighter. Amen?
Amen.
We serve a God of possibilities, not a God of impossibilities. Luke 1, verse 38 says, for with men... it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Come on, somebody say, for with men,
mankind,
it's impossible.
But with God,
all things
are possible.
Now, if he put in there all things, all. Now, if you're going to take that picture, girl, let me get a pose that looking good. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, you got to. This right here looks good. I mean, I'm like, I know I'm bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm bad. I got it going on. Now, don't you be sneaking a photo over there. I see you with that phone. I see you, girl. Don't be trying to sneak. Don't get the back shot. You get the front shot. Trying to control my thoughts about her right now. She's a nice lady. Yes, she's nice. Amen. Come on, somebody, think bigger.
Think better.
Think brighter.
Think bigger.
Think better.
Think brighter.
Come on, I'm going to control how I think
about me,
about my life.
About my future.
I'm going to think bigger.
I'm going to think better.
I'm going to think brighter. Now, when I was praying to come here in this thought pattern, this verse in scripture, what I'm about to give you, I really felt like it was prophetic in the sense of God about to do it. In other words, it's in the trajectory. I don't know if that's the right word, but it's in the pathway. It's in the plan. It's in 2020, and it's for this church, for this ministry. You know what I love about this church? Without walls, I know it's without limits. I was trying to see if they paid attention. It's without, look, you don't even know the name of our church. I just want to wake some of y'all like, I'm dreaming right now. Let me dream. But it's without limits. No limits. Right? It's without no limits? mean, do you know the name of your church? I mean, I shouldn't have to come here and tell you the name of the church. I take back everything I said a while ago about how awesome he is. No. Here's the thing. It's without limits. Think about that. You're in a church that the very name is without. If that's not thinking bigger and better and brighter, come on. You're in church, this property, every drive by, without limits church. Come on, there are no limits. There are no boundaries. And some of us are still thinking, are you sure? Will it really happen? Will God really do what he said he'll do? Well, you're going to church that says without limits church. That name is just not something we pulled off a billboard. That's something God birthed in pastors, that you will be a church without limits. You will be a people without limits. You will be pastors without limits. You'll raise up families without limits. There's no barriers. There's no hindrances. It's without limits. I mean, it doesn't matter the size of New Bern. You are a people without limits. And I prophesy that you're without limits. There are no limits. Officer, there are speed limits. That's the only ones we're going to acknowledge. But other than that, I don't want her to... You got to correct yourself in front of the... Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. Jesus talking. It's written in red. Y'all got it in red in your Bible? See, them old cell phones don't have red in there. See, they need a good... Oh, it does? Girl, don't talk back to me. I'm running this show. She's like, excuse me. You related to the family. Everybody's without limits, but my Bible's in red ink, so maybe you have a special phone. My phone don't have red. But anyways, let's get to the Bible. Revelation 3. And Pastor, I prophesied this is a not just a word, but it's a word in due season. I prophesy through this word I'm about to give you, it is a, the word shift is not the right word. What's that where it's over the top? It's beyond normal. When I was praying the other day and I was writing some notes down for myself, I heard these words come out of my mouth. And I'm sitting there in my morning prayer time and I'm writing notes and I heard this it just came out of my mouth. I don't want normal. I don't want normal. I don't want normal. I told the devil, I don't want normal. God, I don't want normal. Church, I don't want, whatever normal is, Chad Rowe don't want normal no more. I don't want a normal marriage. I don't want a normal family. I don't want a normal life. I don't want a normal church. I don't want to be around normal people. I don't want normal. I don't want normal. I refuse normal. Whatever norm is, I don't want it. Seven spirits of what? Come out in the name of Jesus. You start talking about not normal, demons rise up, boy. Like, hey, I'm normal. I don't want normal friendship. I don't want normal. I want real. Authentic, genuine. I want to be able to tell him everything. I don't want to hold nothing back. I mean, we do talk. I don't want normal. I'm tired of normal. I don't want to have church. I told my church 2 weeks ago, it's about to get cray cray up in here because I don't want normal. I'm not going to be normal. They're like, oh my God. They were praying for revival. Then revival hits. They're like, can we go back to normal? I don't want normal. I'm not doing life normal no more. If I did it this way all the time, I'm not doing it that way no more. In other words, it may be a half a step better than what I have. Then that's not normal. It may not be this huge step, but whatever, if it's just off a little bit to the better, that's what I'm going after. I don't want normal. I'm not going to think normal no more. I don't want to think normal. In other words, my normal thought pattern is we've been 20 years destiny, and just in this last year, everything that we've been believing that would happen one day manifest out of nowhere. In other words, all of our locations, our extra locations, boom, 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 boom. And then just right at the close of 19, we opened another location in, where's that at? El Paso, Texas. Yeah, Destiny El Paso. You didn't know nothing about that? Destiny El Paso. So that ain't normal. Right on the border. It's not normal. But you know what I found out? God said, Chad, it's going to be normal till you get tired of it being normal. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I can imagine or think about or ask him to do, he's able to do it above and beyond. So if you think small, he could do it a little bit above and beyond that. It goes on and says, according to the power that's in you. Well, we know Paul said the spirit is willing. It's the flesh that's weak. The thing I don't want to do, I do. And the thing I do that I don't want to do, I don't do. Oh, this wretched man that I am, I'm betwixt two. And the only thing that could change was not Paul's spirit. It had to be his mind. He says, things I don't want to do, I keep doing. And I know there's none of y'all in here, but pray for Reverend. Pray for Reverend. And God said, the only way it's not going to be normal is you got to change your thinking, how you think about it. Or it's going to keep being normal because you're going to have what you imagine, what you think. Because God said, I'm able to do above and beyond that. One day, several years ago, this lady, been in our church a long time, she called church. She said, Pastor, she's screaming, crying. She said, Pastor, I need a breakthrough. I mean, what's going on? What's going on? She said, my son has ran away. He's ran away before. I knew about it. But this time I've not heard from him. It's been 3 days. I was going to call you, and I just can't sleep at night. I mean, I can't go to work. I mean, I was at work. They sent me home. I don't know what I'm going to do. I've never been without hearing from him. I mean, he's never done this. It's been 3 days. He could be dead. I don't know what's going on. But she was just screaming, hysterical, great, great prayer warrior in our church. And she said, I've been praying, but it's just like these thoughts of everything that he could be dead. He could be laying in a ditch somewhere. I don't know. And she's hysterical. She said, but I just know if you pray, Pastor, I'm sure God will do it. And just pray right now because I can't pray. So I said, okay, what do you want? She said, I'd just be happy if I got a phone call. If I just knew he was okay. I said, okay, Father, in Jesus' name, right now, we pray and we ask you that he call wherever he's at. Lord, you do whatever. Get he call her. Let him know he's okay or whatever's going on. In Jesus' name, amen. A few minutes later, she calls back. She's screaming, shouting, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm like, come on, English. True story. I'm not making a bit of it up. And finally she said, he called. He's okay. I said, well, praise the Lord. I started speaking in tongues. And then I hung up. I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. You answered prayer. He said, I could have done more than that. Wow. I said, Lord, why didn't you do it? This is a time for you to show yourself. Now you want to come up here and interrupt my service. Now, I ain't stopping just because you come up. Anyways, but you don't run this right here, girl. You may run that, but you don't run this right here. I run this. Oh, got a little helper up there as well. Got a little helper. It's a new season. It's a new day. There's a fresh anoint coming my way. You know what God told me that day? He said, Chad, I could have delivered him from the drugs. I could have saved him. I could have brought him home. He said, but you didn't ask me that. You just asked me for him to call. And I did what you asked me. Why? Because he's able to do above and beyond what you and I could ask him or imagine or think about him doing. He's able to do far above that. Revelation chapter 3. Come on, somebody say, I don't want normal. Verse 8. I know your works, says the Lord. Behold, that means look now, look at this. I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, and has kept my word, and has not denied my name. Pastor Mac, that's exactly what I heard the Lord say about you and this church. I know what you've been doing. I know your work. The Amplified says, I know your record of works. Think about Jesus saying, I know what's been going on. I know what's been happening. I got it. Know what you've been doing, good or bad. I've kept record of it. But pay attention to this. Behold. The word behold means look now. Forget that. Look at this. He said, I've set before you an open door. The Amplified Bible says a double wide door that no man can shut.